Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Shabbos. Rabbi spoke beautifully on Shabbos Shuva Drasha, and he said that we got to bring back Erev Shabbos. So today we bring back Erev Shabbos. So we start the Masechta Shabbos today on an Erev Shabbos, not just an Erev Shabbos, but Chol HaMoed Sukkos. So it's a very fortuitous time to begin the Masechta. It's a long Masechta. It is length in terms of Dapim and length in terms of Prakim. So it is the beginning of Seder Moed. We finished Seder Zerayim. I know that was quick. 2 months for Seder Zerayim, but as I'm sure everyone here is aware, we really didn't do Seder Zerayim. We did Masechta Brachos, because there's a Talmud attached to that, so we did one Masechta of Seder Zerayim, but we still left a lot uncovered in the Daf Yomi cycle. So of words of encouragement, I say to myself, and you people can listen in if you'd like, should do the rest of Seder Zerayim. Meaning there's an entire Seder which goes unlearned because it's not part of the Daf Yomi cycle. When we went to the Siyam, one of the points that was made at the Siyam is that one of the beautiful things about the Daf Yomi is that it forces us to do Masechtos which we probably would not have done on our own. So now we need a new system in order to get us to do Mishnayos, which we would not necessarily have done on our own. Okay, that'll be the Musa for today. The Masechta is long. It covers a span of 157 blot, which means that in Daf Yomi language, that's a six-month enterprise. The next time we're going to be making a Siyam is going to be Yontav again, just not this Yontav. It'll be Pesach. It'll be around Pesach time. I think Stuart told me that it's going to finish up before Pesach. So I have a funny suspicion that a lot of people are going to be making for their Tanis Bechoros. A lot of people are going to be making a Siyam on Masechta Shabbos, which is great. No, there's some Yerushalmi, but we don't have no Bavli. Yeah, okay. All right, so it's 157 blot and 24 prakim. So every Seder opens up with the big Masechta, right? It's true by every one of the Sedarim. So, and not so much by Zerayim. Brachos is not huge. Brachos is only but 9 prakim. It's 60.
That's the biggest.
Right. 64. It's 64 blot, but it's correct. In Zerayim, it's the biggest Masechta. but all the other Sedarim open up with a big Masechta. So Nashim, for example, opens up with Yavamos. Yavamos is big, and I'm sorry. Let my brain work a little bit more. And Nezikin opens up with the Bavas, Baba Kama, Baba Mitzvah, Baba Vasa, which we know historically at one point was actually one big Masechta bundled together. Okay, Kachim starts off with Zvachim and Menachos, two very large Masechtas, and Taharos, which that's all the way at the end. So Taharos opens up with Kalim, which is 30 Prakim. So every Seder opens up with a big Masechta, and this is, Moed is together with that, 24 Prakim of Shabbos. Now, I'm not going to give an overview of the entire Masechta right now, but just a basic overview, just so you understand where we're beginning in the Masechta and what topic we're beginning with in the Masechta. You see, really the beginning of the Masechta does not take place until Daf Ayin Beis. I know that sounds funny, but that's Ayin Beis, no, Ayin Gimel, I take it back. Okay, the beginning of the Masechta starts on Ayin Gimel. Okay, that's when really the Masechta begins. So that's 73, and we're on page 2. So what's going on between page 2 and page 73, and why do I say 73 is the beginning of the Masechta? Because if you take a sneak peek to Daf Ayin Gimel, so you will see that that is where we're introduced to the 39 Malachas, meaning Shabbos is fundamentally an Issa Malacha. Meaning we have to stop working on Shabbos. It's a cessation of work. And it's the definition of what work is a malacha. And a malacha is found, all 39 of them are found, on Daf Ayin Gimel. And that gives us the very basics in terms of what you cannot do on Shabbos. Wonderful. So now that we have the beginning of the Masechta found on page Ayin Gimel, 73, so what's going on now? So what's going on now, from here until the seventh perek, is basically introductory remarks, and if you will, Erev Shabbos. Meaning, the first perek really deals with Erev Shabbos, right? Preparation for Shabbos. And the second perek talks about Halakas Neiros. Right? We know that perek, we know it pretty well. We say it, the Minhag Ashkenaz is to say it every Friday night. The third perek setting up our food for Shabbos. The fourth perek, insulating that food for Shabbos. The fifth perek, what you can and cannot wear going into Shabbos. So because you don't want to violate the malach of Otsa'a. That's the fifth and sixth perek, parakim. And then it takes us to the seventh perek. Okay? So in other words, everything up until the seventh perek is all hachana. It's preparation for Shabbos. And then when you get to the seventh perek, so then we're introduced to the 39 malachos. Okay, that's the basic structure and the basic layout of from what is going on now in Daf Beis all the way to Daf Ein Gimel. Okay? Which is then the beginning. And then once Ein Gimel rolls around, so then the rest of the Masechta is all basically analysis of various malachos. Okay. With it, more attention spent to one than the other. Okay. Good. So that is a general overview of the Masechta, the first seven parakim, then everything that remains, and then we are going to talk about today's daf. Now today's daf is daf beis, right? The first daf in the Masechta. It's kind of like almost like an intro to an intro, meaning as I pointed out, the first parak is really dedicated to Friday, which is perfect because today is Friday, and it talks about. You got to get ready for Shabbos. You got to prepare. Make sure you get your hair cut. Make sure your clothing is laundered. But really, all that begins on Daf Tes. Meaning, my general introduction to the Masechta, that the first parak is all about Friday and Shabbos preparation, that really begins on Daf Tes. What the Mishnah throws at us on Daf Beis is a Mishnah about Hotza'ah. Really, nothing to do with Erev Shabbos. But just simply, let me introduce you to the whole concept of Hotza'ah, carrying on Shabbos. And it's one Mishnah, which is the entire Amud Aleph of our Daf, and then about eight blot of Gemara. And then when you get to Daf Tes, Tes Amud Beis, so then we start off with the Lo Yeshev Adam Lefnei Asapar Samecha Mincha. Make sure to get a haircut, make sure not to wait too late on Erev Shabbos to get your haircut, and et cetera, et cetera. And it's only then do we start talking about now preparations for Shabbos. So what is going on in our mission over here? Why are we introduced to the topic of Hotza'ah? So this is not my question. Tosos is bothered exactly by this question. Tosos wants to know what's going on with our mission over here and basically the next eight blot of Gemara. So Tosos, you can take a look at the top Tosos. I know it's funny, we're not starting with a Mishnah, but it's just these are overview points, these are general points. We're kind of looking at it with a wide lens at the Masechta, and once you know all this, it really these questions just stand on its own. You don't need me to articulate these questions. So Hicharivah Didine Otzah Shabbos Hayelo Lashanos Gabi Avos Malachos Achar Periklah Gadol. When should we be talking about this discussion of Hotza'ah? So Tosfos says later. After the seventh parak, meaning first let's get introduced to the malacha, and then we could talk in detail about the malacha votza. So what's going on over here? Asks Tosfos. La kamen dasen kritani avos malachas mem chatzar achas kritani otza lebesof. In fact, Tosfos says get to ayin gimel, which is as I pointed out the beginning of the masechta. Right. So we're for the next like 2 months and change. We're like pre masechta Shabbos, if you will. So in other words, and not only that, by the way, says Tosfos, but Hotza'ah, do you know where Hotza'ah is on the list? It's the last one on the list. So Viktani Hotza'ah levesofa havela lahaschol keseder bedvarim demari bearer Shabbos mibo yom kigon lo yitzeh chayit b'machto samuch lechashecha. And all the topics that we are going to be discussing in the first parak are going to be, you know, when you're a tailor, don't walk out with a needle in your clothing. And then the second parak about candle lighting, and the third parak about food preparation, and the fourth parak about these are things you have to do before it gets dark on Friday night. And then you get to the fifth parak and the sixth parak of Shabbos. What women can wear, what your animals can wear going into Shabbos, v'shuv avos malachos shel Shabbos, and then the seventh parak is avos malachos. V'derech hatan l'shanos keseder zeh k'mo shematzim b'psachim demaska b'lal yedalet. And Toso says, I will show you that throughout Shas, this is the general structure of every masechta, where every masechta takes us basically chronologically through the event. So, for example, says Tosfos Pesachim. Where does Pesachim begin? Or La Arba Asar. Let's get rid of our Chametz. And then the Masechta takes us gradually up till the Seder, where the Masechta ends with the Seder. Right? The entire 10th parak is dedicated to the Seder. V'shuv b'yudah, v'shuv b'shchitas Pesachim, shuv b'ein arabayim, v'achekach shona ma'achilas Pesachim, shuv b'layla, v'chem b'yuma, ma'aschil, b'zayin yame kodim yame kippurim. Another example says Tosfos. Yuma. What happened? Where do we start? Where does the Masechta begin in Yuma? It starts with the 7 days where the Kohen is sequestered before doing the Avodah Yom Kippurim. So in other words, we're starting 7 days earlier, again, because we always go chronologically through the event of whatever our Masechta is talking about. V'acharkach be'erev Yom Kippurim, v'acharkach lel Yom Kippurim. Good. So why begin here on the topic of Hotza'ah, and for the next week and a half, we're going to be talking about the topic of Hotza'ah in unbelievable detail. Tosfos is just bothered by, what is it doing here? These first eight blot of Shabbos don't belong here, from Daf Beis to Daf Tes. The Masechta really should begin on Daf Tes, where we talk about Erev Shabbos. So what are we doing for the next week and a half? Now, what are we doing? Why are we doing it now? That's Tosfos' question. The Tirei Tzotzah, Chaviv Alei, Lagdum, Mimishun, Mimishna Zu, Shama Kamadvarim, Kamadvarim. So Tosfos lays down the following suggestion. Okay, you will note, okay, and if you want, you can keep a little scorecard for the end of the Masechta. How many pages of Masechta Shabbos are dedicated to the topic of Hotza'ah? In other words, without saying that this is so, I'll say it, and you can gauge whether I'm correct or not later after the Masechta is over. But Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, when the Gemara, when talking on the topic on Shabbos, loves Hotza'ah more than any other malacha. Now, that's not a fair statement. Obviously, every malacha is significant. It's all part of the rubric of Shabbos. But in other words, if we're going to base it on real estate, how much real estate in Masechta Shabbos is dedicated to the topic of Hotza'ah, it is one of the most oft talked about topics throughout Masechta Shabbos. You can keep a scorecard at home and just try to figure out how many pages of the 157 pages of Shabbos is dedicated to the topic of Hotza'ah. And so Tosfos says, assuming that that's true, and basically Tosfos makes this point as well, Chaviv Alei, meaning Tosfos says, this is such a beloved topic to the Tanayim, to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and to the Gemara, that they open up with this particular topic, even though it really doesn't belong here, it belongs later on the Masechta. But like, it's almost like inescapable, we got to talk about this Malacha Hotza'ah. And we're going to learn together, and Tosfos talks about all the things we're going to learn about. Rather than read the remainder of Tosfos, let's start with the Mishnah now, let's do it now. But I just gave a general overview of the Masechta, and try to give some explanation of what we're doing for the next week and a half, and why we're talking about the Malacha of Hotza'ah for the next week and a half. Okay. We're going to learn a Mishnah together. We're going to start the Mishnah together. Before we begin the Mishnah, some of the very basic points that you have to know before we begin the Mishnah. In other words, we have to get acquainted with the topic of Hotza'ah if we're going to discuss intelligently or to some degree of intelligence our Mishnah and the next week and a half. Hotza'ah is an interesting malacha. Tosfos makes the point later on. I will show you the Tosfos later on, where the malacha of Hotza'ah is really like unlike any of the other malachas on Shabbos. Meaning, because for most of the other malachas on Shabbos, there's some creative intent and creative design in the other 38 malachas. I'm doing something, I'm creating something. I'm cooking something, I'm planting something, I'm sowing something. Meaning, it involves something with creativity. Okay, that's a general description of most of the other malachas. Hotza'ah, what's a malacha of Hotza'ah? Watch carefully as I demonstrate. I'll pick up an object in Rishus HaYachid, I'll walk out the door, I'll deposit in the Rishos HaRabim, and I've just violated the Malacha of Hotza'ah. That's it. And then we could do the opposite. I could pick something up in the Rishos HaRabim, walk it inside, put it down into Rishos HaYachid, and I just violated the Malacha of Hotza'ah. And that is just as much a Malacha as the other 38 Malachas. So if I cook on Shabbos with intent, In other words, knowing that it's Shabbos and I cook on Shabbos, that's a capital crime. It's a capital offense. If I do so b'mezid, if I do so intentionally, and there are witnesses, and they warn me, and they say, you know today's Shabbos, you know you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos, and I accept the warning, and I say, afal pi kein, I'm going to do it anyway, so it's a capital crime. I'll be taken to Beis Din of 23, I'm charged with chilul Shabbos, and I'll be put to death. Through skila, through stoning. So in other words, and that's not true with any of the quote-unquote creative acts of Shabbos, it's also true by Otsa as well. So before I pick something up, witnesses warn me, say, don't do that, and I do it, and I accept the warning, so again, so it's the same capital crime. And skila, if there are witnesses, kares, if there are no witnesses, a karban chatas, if I do so bishog, if I do so unintentionally, we'll talk more shogig later on, over the course of this week, okay, so forth and so on. So in other words, it is a malacha, as much as the other malachas are concerned, with a punishment of skila, but there is no real creative act in the malacha of hotzah. Now, the details of hotzah, okay, and we get to, this is now real legal speak. The details of hotzah are as follows. So first of all, it has to be an item, I have to pick up an actual object, an actual item. I have to pick it up in one domain, either Rishus Yachid or Rishus Harab. Now, Rishus Yachid, definitions of which we'll be defining over the course of this next week and a half, but the very basic definition of Rishus Yachid is, it's an enclosed area with four walls around it. Okay, you can cheat a little bit, maybe there are three walls. I know we're right now in the Yontif of Sukkos, where you can cheat even more. You don't even need three walls, your 2.5 walls will be sufficient. Okay, but again, right now, we're just getting acquainted. So, I'm enclosed by four walls. You don't really need a roof over your head in order for something to be Rishus HaYachid. You do not need a roof, let's say clearly. And I pick up an item in the Rishus HaYachid in the private domain, and I walk outside, and I drop it into a Rishus HaRabim, into a public domain. Now, what's the definition of a public domain? So here it gets a little sketchy, just a little bit. The Gemara later on will, Daf Vav, I believe. Okay, I'm going on memory right now. But Daf Vav will give us, will give us the definition of Rishus HaRabim. It essentially is the main thoroughfare that goes through the town, from one end of the town to the other end of the town. It has to be minimally 16 amos wide, and there has to be traffic on it. Now, the Gemara does not talk about what kind of population, what numbers there are on such a road. Tosfos and Rashi discuss the need for 600,000 on that road. We'll talk more about that later on. Basically, what I'm describing is, I don't want to say because it gets controversial, but basically what I'm describing is Palmetto Park Road, meaning it's almost a perfect illustration of Rishus HaRabim, because it's a main road, 16 amos wide. It goes from one end of the town to the other end of the town, straight, without any curves. It's almost like a...
Do you care?
Right?
Do you care?
Right. That's where I get... You know, Rebbe doesn't. I mean, you're aware. Okay. So anyway, so the... So that would be a Rishus HaRabim. So it's hard to conceptualize for us, because none of our houses spill onto Rishus HaRabim. Meaning our houses spill onto an association, which then spills into into a park area, into a more communal area. In other words, it takes a couple of steps for us to get from our house to the actual Rishus HaRabim, assuming Palmetto Park Road is a Rishus HaRabim. So it's hard for us to visualize that we're going to go straight from Rishus HaYachid right out to Rishus HaRabim. Okay. In the good old days, however, in terms of urban development, that's how it was done. In other words, your house basically went right onto the Rishus HaRabim, and so therefore you carried, when you took something out of your house, you carried it straight from Rishus HaYachid right out to Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara is going to discuss, they did have some version of a sidewalk back then, what was called Sidei Rishus HaRabim, right, the sides of Rishus HaRabim, like there was a little bit of an embankment between the Rishus HaRabim and your house, and we'll discuss in debate later on the Masechta how to treat those Sidei Rishus HaRabim, the embankments. But the malacha is very simple. I pick an item up in my private domain, Rishus HaYachid. I walk out to Rishus HaRabim, deposit it in a Rishus HaRabim. Good. I mean, not good, of course, but that's the malacha. Conversely, just give me a moment. Conversely, if I pick something up in a Rishus HaRabim, bring it back in, put it in a Rishus HaYachid, that's also the malacha of Hotzah. Now, just to get more familiar with the terminology, taking something out is called hotza'a to Rishos HaRabim. Bringing something in is called hachnasa. Okay, so those are two different terms used for taking out, putting back in. Out is hotza'a, in is hachnasa. And just two other terms I'm going to acquaint you with today is picking something up is called akira. Putting something down is called hanacha. In order to be fully liable for the malacha of hotza'a, you need both. You need to do the akira and you need to do the hanacha. If one person does the akira and somebody else does the hanacha, that's what's called shtaim sha'asuhu, two people doing one malacha, both of them are going to be pater. Pater, of course, does not mean that it's okay. Pater just simply means that we will not have a Torah liability for what we have done. It's still rabbinically forbidden. Okay. Yeah. Okay, good. Okay, and that is... And that's a lot of information already at the very early stages of the Masechta. And let's begin. Our Mishnah is going to be describing the following scenario, meaning going through the Malach of Otsa'a using the following model. The Baal HaBayis is inside the house. A knock on the door. He opens the door. There's an ani. There's a poor person asking for food or for money or basically for anything. Money. Right? I know it's Shabbos. There's no money, so and he's asking for something. So the Baal HaBayis now is, and we're going to go basically through every scenario that you can envision. Meaning the Baal HaBayis is going to take food in, bring it out to the ani. The ani is going to reach in, take the food, and bring it out. And permutations of basically every type of construct. But that's the construct of the case that we're going to be dealing with. From here until the end of the Mishnah. Let's begin. Yitzias HaShabbos Shayim Shein Arba. Bifnim Ushayim Shein Arba Bachutz. Now, Yitzias HaShabbos. Now, the Mishnah uses the word Yitzias, and that's a funny word to use, and the Gemara is going to make this point. Better if we use the word Hotza'a, or maybe Hachnasa. But the word Yitzia, it's kind of a vague and ambiguous term. The Gemara later on will be bothered by the term. So Yitzias HaShabbos Shtein Shein Arba Bifnim, two which are four from the inside, and two which is four from the outside. Okay, so we open up the Masechta with very vague terminology. As we go through the Mishnah, it will become clearer. Okay, not totally clear, but we'll have a better understanding. Ketzad. So the Mishnah says, let's go through examples. Hani Omei Bechutz Baal HaBayis Bifnim. Well, let's say we start off with a poor person standing outside, and the Baal HaBayis is inside the house. So obviously the Ani is standing in the Rishos HaRabim, and the Baal HaBayis is standing in the Rishos HaYachid. Parsha da Ani es Yado Lefnim, v'nasan l'soch Yado shel Baal HaBayis. So we start with an example of Achnasa. Now, it's an interesting way to start. Well, right. So Phil wants to know what he's giving to the Baal HaBayis. I say it's interesting because I'll ask you a simple question. We of the two that we already talked about, Hachnasa versus Hotza'a, which is the prototype Malacha of Hotza'a? Well, I kind of gave away the answer, right? In other words, we call the Malacha Hotza'a. When you see the Mishnah later on, the Mishnah describes it as Hotza'a. So, and the Torah, in describing the malacha, we'll talk more about that later on, the Torah describes it as hotza'a, which means taking an item from my private domain, Rishos HaYachid, and bringing it out to Rishos HaRabim. So, the prototype, or if you want, the av malacha, is hotza'a. So, our Mishnah starts us off with the opposite, the reflexive, if you will, the hachnasa. The bringing something in, which is also a malacha, for the time being, I guess we'll call it a tolada. It's a subcategory, if you will, but just as liable. Okay, so it's interesting that the Mishnah starts off with the example of achnasa. The ani's outside. Now, what is he bringing inside the house? So let's just, for the simple example, let's use a basket. He has a basket, and he's basically asking the Baal HaBayis to fill up his basket. So he takes a basket, brings it inside the house, and deposits it into the hand of the Baal HaBayis. Oh, that's one example. Shenata mitocha v'hotzia ani. Or let's say like this. He reaches into the house, picks something up from the hand of the Baal HaBayis, takes it out, and deposits it outside. V'hotzia ani chayev u'Baal HaBayis pater. In both of those examples, the ani is going to be chayev, because either he did hachnasa or hotza'a. Either way, he's going to be chayev. And by the way, in both those cases, the Baal HaBayis is going to be pater. Now, what did the Baal HaBayis do in either one of those scenarios? And the answer is nothing. I mean, literally nothing. He stood there. In the first example of Achnasa, he just stood there and just, he had his hand open, obviously, to receive the item. But he didn't do anything. And the second example, he stood there with the item in his hand, but again, he didn't do anything. So the Mishnah says that's pater. Now, normally, meaning for 99% of the Masechta, when you see the word pater, the way you're supposed to understand that is that it's, you're not liable min haTorah, but rabbinically it's aser. Aser mid rabbanan. Pater aval aser. Our Mishnah over here using the word pater, but he didn't do anything. I mean, literally nothing. He just stood there like a statue. So over here, what does pater mean in this context? So stay tuned, because that's this topic of discussion that's going to come up. We're not discussing it today, but in other words, put that somewhere in your reservoir. Next example, the Mishnah Pasha Baal HaBayis says Yad Lachutz V'Nasal Nesoch Yadu Shel Ani. Here now, we're going to have the Baal HaBayis do all the work, and the Ani just stand there like a statue. So number one, the Baal HaBayis is going to reach his hand out of the house and deposit a food item or any item into the hand of the Ani. Or the Baal HaBayis is going to reach his hand out, take the basket from the Ani, bring it into the house, deposit it into the house. Baal HaBayis chayev, Ani pater. So here now we just gave two examples of the Baal HaBayis being chayev and the Ani being pater. Again, the Ani didn't do anything. Okay. At this point in time, yeah. At this point in time, let's ask a pretty obvious question. Meaning, we have now just given examples of hachnasa and hotzah. Did I sound repetitive? Now, I did repeat myself a little bit. Okay, I tend to every now and then. But in other words, the cases in the Mishnah, do they not sound a little bit repetitive? Here we have, let me show you hachnasa and hotzah. The Ani is going to bring something into the house. Oh, that's hachnasa. The Ani is going to take something out of the house. Oh, that's hotzah. Now let me show it to you again. The Baal HaBayis is going to take something out of the house. Oh, that's hotzah. The Baal HaBayis is bringing something into the house. Oh, that's achnasa. What's
different places?
Oh, okay, now they're standing from different places, but it's repetitive. Meaning to put the question very simply, the Mishnah is really repeating itself when it's going over those two examples of achnasa hotzah. It's the same thing said over twice, just from two different vantage points. One from the Ani and one from the Baal HaBayis. So why is the Mishnah repeating itself? Well, no. In other words, the passive person has no liability.
But he cooperated.
Okay, good. So good. That's again. That's tomorrow's discussion. So let's leave that for tomorrow.
And then start with a simple case where one person takes and goes out.
Correct. And right. And the easiest case is where somebody actually walks
right
through the door, which right. Nobody here is moving. But okay. Why, but it's really a basic question. We are really illustrating the examples, and we're saying it over twice. Okay, so Tosfos is bothered by this question. Pasha Baal HaBayis says Yado, Tema Lari. It is Tosfos number 1, 2, 3. It's Tosfos number 4 on the Amud. Amai Tzarech Lamasni Tarte Da'ani Uda Baal HaBayis. Good. That's Tosfos' question. Why do this twice? And even our numbering system, meaning even from an accounting standpoint, why are we calling this two examples? It's not really two examples. It's the same example. All I'm doing is just simply changing the vantage point, but it's really the same act being accomplished. Okay, you heard this last night between Mincha Mariv. The Rav spoke last night about this idea between Mincha Mariv, and now you get to see this inside in Tosfos, where Tosfos says, here I refer to Malacha Sotza as a Malacha Gerua. Now, literally what that means is that this Malacha is an inferior Malacha. Now, I got to be careful about how you use this expression in regards to the Malacha Sotza, because as I explained already, it's as much a capital crime as any of the other malachas. To say it's inferior because it carries less punishment is simply not true. But it's inferior in the following. Because qualitatively it does not behave like any of the other malachas. All the other malachas are creative by design. Planting, cooking, sewing.
Use your hand also.
Right, grinding. Everything creates some sort of change in creative act. Here, nothing happened other than an item being moved from point A to point B. That's it. So in other words, it doesn't behave like the other malachas. It's called malacha geruah. Because if all this malacha is just taking an item and moving it from point A to point B, so what difference does it make whether point A is a Rosh HaSiyachid and point B is a Rosh HaSarabim? Let's say point A is a Rosh HaSiyachid and point B is another Rosh HaSiyachid. Meaning, I don't get it. It's hard to put into terms what the malacha is. And Tosa says, and if the Mishnah would have only illustrated, here's a malacha. It's where the Ani takes something out of the house. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that the Bala Bayis, if he were to do the same, he would also be Chayev, meaning because once now we call a Malacha Grua, once I don't understand what's the creative nature of the Malacha, so now, explains Tosfos, the Mishnah needs to spell out every scenario. Because here we can't jump from, if this is a Malacha, well then the opposite of it also must be a Malacha. Everything has to be spelled out because of its inferior nature, because we really don't understand what's the creative nature of the malacha. In fact, says Tosfos, it explains another issue as well. We're going to learn later on, right, much later on, that the that there are actually two psukim that in the Torah that describe the malacha votzah. Vayichalei ha-me'avi, meaning one in Parshas Vayakel, and the Gemara in Erevin Daf Yezayin quotes from Parshas Bishalach, another pasuk that describes the Malach HaVotzah. Why do I need two psukim describing the Malach HaVotzah? And again, because every version of the Malacha, every method of the Malacha has to be spelled out. I can't deduce one point to another point in this malacha of Hotzah. Okay? So that is Tosus' explanation of why, A, the Mishnah is repetitive, and B, why we have two psukim that describe the malacha of Hotzah. The psukim themselves, by the way, we'll go through in more detail later on this week. Okay. Let's continue in the Mishnah. Okay, more cases in the Mishnah. Now, what are we doing now at this point in the Mishnah? We're going through cases in the Mishnah that are not a malacha, but are almost a malacha. Right? Just half of the malacha. And so if you do half of a malacha, you are not chayv min haTorah, but it's asur min derabbanan. So for example, Pasha da'ani es yado lifnim, the ani brings his hand inside, but doesn't deposit the basket into the hands of the balabas. The balabas takes it from him. So the ani did the akira. The balabas did the hanacha. V'nata balabais mitocha. Oh, shenasan lesocha v'hotzi. Or let's say the ani put his hand in, the balabas placed the item into the hand of the ani, and then the ani took his hand out of the house. V'hotzi, shneim paturim. In both of these examples, they're both going to be pater. Both of these examples are going to be pater. Now, how many cases did we just go over? Now, I know you're going to be apt to say, well, it's four cases, because let's take a look at that first case. The Ani brings his hand inside, and the Baal Bas takes it from the Ani. So now, the Ani bringing his hand inside, that's Akira. The Baal Bas taking it from the Ani, well, that's Hanacha. That's one for the Ani, that's one for the Baal Bas. Later on, the Gemara will say, you know what, in this example, ignore the Baal Bas. Meaning he didn't do what he did should not have done. To take the basket from the Ani's hand he should not have done. That's also half a malacha. That's hanacha. But in this, in terms of accounting in our Mishnah, just count this as one Issur Derabbanan, even though you could make an argument to count this as two Issuri Derabbanan. Okay. But count it only as one. And then the flip side is where the Ani puts his hand inside and the Baal Bas drops it into the hand of the Ani. That's an Issur Derabbanan for the Baal Bas who did the Akira. The Mishnah goes on. Pasha balabais es yad alachotz. The balabas extends his hand outside with an item in his hand. V'natal ani mitocha, and the ani takes it from him. So there, the balabas did the akira, but he didn't do the hanacha. He didn't deposit the item. So the balabas is now liable, but only midrabanan. Oshenasal asocha v'hichnis, or the balabas extends his hand outside. The ani drops the item into the hand of the balabas, and the balabas brings it inside. So there, the ani did the malacha vakira, shnei paturim. In both of these cases, both are going to be pater. Okay, so you have now a more basic understanding of our Mishnah. The Mishnah says yitzias ashtab b'shtaim shein arba, two which are four. Now we get it. What are the two which are four? I'm trying to explain the Mishnah, and that's really what the Gemara is going to do from this point forward. Let's start with the Gemara, and then I'll come back and I'll give a summary of the Mishnah. Tanan hasam. Let's learn together the first Mishnah of Shavuos. Shavuos time shein arba. Now, there's an issue in the Torah that you cannot make a shvua l'shav. You cannot make a false shvua. You can't say, I am going to eat this bread, and you make an oath to that effect, or the opposite. I cannot say, I will not eat that bread, make an oath to that effect, and then making the oath in of itself, shouldn't do it, but in other words, that's not the issue. The issue is violating your oath. And then saying after saying, I with a shvua, I swear I will not eat that bread, then you go ahead and you eat that bread. Okay? That's a shvua shav, and shvua l'sheker. And if you violate your shvua inadvertently, so you're going to be chayv a carbon. Carbon ola v'yored. Okay. How many different cases are there by shvuas? Two, which are four. Meaning two plus two. Two that are explicitly mentioned in the Torah, two that are not explicitly mentioned in the Torah. What are the two that are not explicitly mentioned in the Torah? Lisha avar, past tense. Meaning, I swear I did eat that bread, or I swear I did not eat that bread. Yidios hatuma shtein shein arba. A person's tame forgets that he's tame and walks into the Beis HaMikdash. A person's tame forgets that he's tame and eats carbon. Both of those examples, the Torah says, you're chayef. Again, carbon ola v'yared. Again, we're talking about the person who walks into the Beis HaMikdash, b'shogeg, in a state of unawareness. Those are two examples. There are two more examples not mentioned explicitly in the Torah, which is, you know your Tameh, you forgot this is the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, hard to forget, but you forgot. Or you know your Tameh, you forgot this piece of meat is carbon. Okay, that's two plus two. Maris negayim shtein shein dalet. Also, regarding discoloration of the skin that makes a person a metzora, how many shades of white are there? Two plus two. Two explicitly mentioned in the Torah, two more shades of white that are not explicitly mentioned in the Torah. So, Maris Negaim Shtein Shein Dalet, Yitzias HaShabbos Shtein Shein Arba. And when it comes to Yitzias HaShabbos, same story, two which are four. Period. That is the Mishnah Shavuos. And the question is now obvious. Meaning in the Mishnah Shavuos, we said Shtein Shein Arba, two which are four. Wait a second. Maishna Hacha Dini Beishein Dalet Bifnim Beishein Arba Bechutz Umaishna Hacham Dini Shtein Shein Arba Vesulo. Meaning that Mishnah Shavuos, how come it only has two plus two? Our Mishnah says two plus two for the one inside. Two plus two for the one who's outside. Right? What happened? So Hacha Dikar Shabbosu Tini Avos V'Tini Tolados. Hasam Delavikar Shabbosu Avos Tini Tolados Lo Tini. So the Gemara's answer at this point is, well, by Masechta Shavuos, Shabbos is not the main topic over there. Shabbos over there is coming as an ancillary point. So there, we're just simply going to say 2 plus 2 because we're going over the Avos Malacha. Here, we are learning Masechta Shabbos. Day 1 of Masechta Shabbos. So here, we're not saying it as an ancillary point. This is what we're learning all about, Hilchos Shabbos. So therefore, we're going to go over both the Avos and the Tolados. So the Gemara says, think about this answer for a moment. Avos, my nino yitzios. Now, when we talk about the Avos, what's the Av Malacha? So we made this point already earlier this morning. We're now making it again. The Av Malacha of Hotza'ah is Hotza'ah. Taking something out from Rishus Yach to Rishus Rabim. The Yitzios Trehavia. Now, Hotza'ah comes in one of two ways. Either the Balabas bringing something outside, or the ani taking something outside. Okay, but v'chitem a mehen lechiv mehen lift. I'm sorry, trey avyan. So that amounts to two. What does the Mishnah Shavuot say? Two plus two. So if all the Mishnah in Shavuot is trying to do is just give us the avos malacha, stop at two. Don't give us two plus two. Now the Gemara suggests v'chitem a mehen lechiv a mehen lift, or well, maybe the Mishnah Shavuot is just giving us the two that are asur min haTorah, meaning the Baal HaBayis taking something outside and the Ani bringing something outside, and the two derabbanans, like we described in our Mishnah. But the Gemara says, no. V'hadumi demars negayim ketani. Well, because look at the other examples given that Mishnah Shavuos. Those aren't derabbanan examples. Those are derais examples. So, for example, mars negayim. The two shades of white that are not mentioned in the Torah. If a person has them, is he a mitzvah min haTorah? You bet he is. Min haTorah, not midrabanan. Now Rashi points out, how come the Mishnah didn't use the other examples in that Mishnah over there? Not the Yediyas HaTumah, not the Shvuah. So Rashi goes to explain why we use the example of Maris Negayim. But anyway, but the point is that all the other cases over there are Daraisa. So the Shabbos example over there of 2 plus 2, that's 2 Daraisas plus 2 Daraisas. Not two deraisas plus two derabbanans. So masat maasim kulichiyuv av hachanami kulichiyuv ala merav papa hacha deker shabbos hu tana chiyuv peture hasam delaviker shabbos hu chiyuv tani peture lo tani. So the Gemara says like this. Here's the answer. When we're learning masechta Shabbos, which we just started today, we're going to learn hotzal from a Torah iser standpoint, and we're going to learn hotzal from a derabbanan iser standpoint. Over there, we're just going over the Daraisas, not the Darabanans. So, Chiyuva Mainir Yitzius, Yitzius Tarte Havyan, Shtaim Da'otzah, Shtaim Da'achnasa. And the Gemara says, two which is to take out, and two which is to bring in. V'hai Yitzius Ketani. Now, here's the Gemara bothered by the word. What about the fact that it says Yitzius? Amravashi, Tanahachnasa, Nami Otzah Karile. And the Gemara says, nah, don't worry so much about that. When our Mishnah says the word Yitzios, Yitzios is going also on the act of Hotzah and the act of Achnasa. Mimai, how do I know that? Mean the none. I'm watching Mishnah Sloshos Chayev. So Mila Oskin and the Kamaal Mishnah Sarab Mishnah Sayachiv the Kakari Le Hotzah. In other words, taking something from one to another, that is the Malach of Hotzah, regardless of which direction I'm going. Because when I take something out of its place, that's called Hotzah. Okay, good. And now we can review and could summarize for today. We introduce ourselves today. We look globally at the Masechta, and we try to explain the first 73 blot of the Masechta, and we got most of it. What about the first 8 blot of the Masechta, where we're taking a detour of the Malach of Hotzah, and we're going to learn now, today, in the next 7 days, all about Hotzah. Says Tosfos, Chaviva, Rav Yehuda Anasi loved the Malach of Hotzah so much that we're kind of getting a crash course in the Malach of Hotzah even before we talk about anything else in Masechta Shabbos. What's the construct of our Mishnah? The Ani and the Baal HaBayis having an exchange, either bringing something out or bringing something in. If either one of them does both the Akira and the Hanacha, that's a Malach of Hotzah min haTorah. If they share the Malacha, where one does the Akira and the other does the Hotzah, that's only an Issur d'Rabbanan. How many cases can we come up with in our Mishnah? So we came up with 8 cases in our Mishnah, four which there's an Echi of Daraisa, and four where there's only going to be an Issur d'Rabbanan. When our Mishnah says Yitzios, our Mishnah is talking both about Hotzah, taking something out, and Achnasa, bringing something in. The term Yitzios is a more broader term, a general term, that describes both Hotzah and Hachnasah.